Good morning. Settle it on a Tuesday. I'm Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park. We have Greg behind the glass today. No, Tom. Lot to do today. Greg will unveil the top 12 teams in college football. We are 1 week away from the official debut of the college football rankings. But Greg says enough of that. I've been doing this all year. We'll get to that at 6:35. Some fallout for Michigan, Michigan State. Are you viewing those coaches differently now? Jonathan Smith takes some heat. Heard some Spartan fans questioning whether he was invested enough in the rivalry. Sharon Moore, not all is forgiven, but has some faith been restored? And of course, a lot of Lions. Dan Campbell today on the show, 8:02, what he said yesterday at the podium. And
not just what he said.
How he appeared.
Body language.
Jumping up and down.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a second. John, you said you had an eventful morning.
I did. And an eventful night, because I don't know, Heather, obviously your kids are much younger and you don't text them. They don't have phones. Greg, I'm not sure how you handle these types of situations, but last night, my fantasy football team moved into first place. And my league, it constitutes or is constituted of family members, and they're all 18 and younger. So it's all four of my kids, along with my niece, who's over at Grand Valley State now, and myself. So we got six members. I started off 0-2. I've ripped off six wins. And this morning, I like to text them when I get up in the morning. This morning I was up a little bit earlier. It was about 2:30. So I text them all. And I said, hey, my app isn't working. Is there any chance you guys could update me on the standings of our league? I obviously know I'm in first place. And so when they wake up, I will get text messages, hate messages from my own children, which is hard to believe, and from my niece. At some point, they will get the joke, and they will be mad because that's the first message they will wake up to this morning. And I am giddy with the thought of them seeing that first thing in the morning. Is that wrong?
No, that's the point of being in these fantasy leagues.
That's what I thought, because they'll all be like, Dad, I don't understand. Uncle John, I don't understand why you would text me so early in the morning with that question. But yes, so as they
Your
come in,
I may
update you guys as this happens.
It'd be great. Let us know.
I mean, the craziest thing out of that whole thing you just said was the fact that you woke up at 2:30.
Yeah, lots going on.
What?
Yeah. No. Lots going on. So I just couldn't sleep. The mind started rolling, and it was one of those things. Do I lay here and just roll around and wake up Lisa or anybody else in the house, or do I just get up and start my day? So I decided just get up and start my day.
John's going to have his fantasy football team in a power surge on Wednesday.
Power surge. It may be, because we are hot, and there might be a shakeup. There might be some audio used. On Wednesday, there might be a shakeup in the power surge. So make sure you tune in tomorrow at 6:35.
Heather is right. 2:30 in the morning. You got to at least make an effort to go back to sleep. Did you try to go back to sleep?
No. Well, I mean, I did. I laid there. But it's one of those moments where your mind just starts running on everything that you have to do today. And because my Mondays are normally, boom, 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 all the way until I get home at 7. And today, Tuesday, is normally a little bit lighter, but I've got so much to do, and my mind just kept running.
When's the burnout happen, though? When do you just crash? Or can you make it all the way?
Sometime in March.
Oh my gosh. I'm tired for you. I feel tired already.
Oh no, I'm energized. I went for a brief walk. It was a beautiful morning. I know you had rain.
What
do you mean?
No, I mean, it was like a torrential downpour. I thought my house was going to roll away. We had so much rain.
We didn't have any rain in Plymouth. Because I'm right now, also one of the things on the to-do list is clean up the leaves. We have layers upon layers upon layers of leaves. And so I got up and I was thinking, because I checked the weather, it was supposed to rain. Didn't rain here at all.
Did you have thunder?
I slept. Not before 2:30 in the morning.
No, but this was it woke me up around 4, and then I couldn't go back to bed.
We didn't have any of that, no.
Wow. I thought it was going to wake the kids up. I thought everyone in the house, I thought the dogs were going to go crazy. Yeah, the rain was so loud on our house. It was
shaking the house.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I'm more curious about the morning part of that. We don't got no morning yet. The sun's not out.
No. So, well, yeah, for some it would be still nighttime.
See, some people might be wrapping up their evening at that point.
It could be. Yeah.
You're out there getting a walk.
Well, that's what I thought you were going to say about your daughter or your niece. Is like, I'm waking up at 2 and they're just getting home from the home. Well, they're not old enough for the bar yet, I guess. They're too young. They're under 18.
Couple years. The two that are in college, Jess and Lucy, if they had texted me back at that time, somebody would have been in trouble. And then follow up today on some of those is because they were at school. We were doing it on the draft there, and they had help, right? And it was from, this boy helped me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, is he a friend or is he a quote-unquote friend?
Mm-hmm.
And so you could tell your friend they're losers.
Trash talking John Jansen, baby. Let's go. All right. We got Dan Campbell audio to play for people. So he was asked at the podium about any imminent moves on the defensive line. And here's how he responded. So he's grinning the whole way. And then, John, I don't know how else to describe it. He's jumping up and down as he says, could be.
Yeah.
Could
rubbing be. His hands together. Yeah. Yeah. He was getting excited.
Giddy, even. What am I supposed to read into that?
It's Christmas morning, or maybe it was Christmas Eve, and we're going to get news today. Maybe they're just waiting for league approval on whatever trade may be. I don't know. But there's got to be something going on. We haven't heard any leaks. We haven't heard any sources say any rumors. The only one that we were talking about this morning, Hassan Reddick, and I believe most of that probably came from his agent.
I would think so, too.
And here's, everybody kind of knows probably how it works. Like, agents can leak this out, but if they end up not being traded, or if there's any discussion, then, you ruin a relationship with the team you're at, or possibly soil a relationship on the team that you're going to. So agents kind of stay in line as instructed by the teams. But we haven't heard, this is Brad Holmes running a very tight ship. We didn't have much juice going into the draft.
No.
And so, I like the fact that there's no rumors, except for it sucks for radio.
Yeah, makes it a little different for us, a little more difficult. And I do wonder if there's an impatience. Like, Josh Uche got traded yesterday.
I saw that, and I started to get impatient. And not that he was going to be a great fit.
No, but as moves start to be made, the carousel is spinning, and you want to make sure that you get somebody a week by the time this trade deadline happens, a week from today.
Who or what trade do you think would make Dan Campbell that giddy? Jump up and down like a kid at Christmas.
I don't think it's Crosby. I don't think it's Garrett. The next best thing would be a player he has familiarity with, that Aaron Glenn has familiarity with, a team that lost last weekend, a team that brings an edge player to the table who played with DJ Reader a season ago.
He was unhappy before the season, demanded a new contract or a trade, didn't get it.
Trey Hendrickson? Is that the present under the tree, John?
So when I saw that, that's instantly what I thought. Because he knows exactly what he would be getting in Trey Hendrickson, because Aaron Glenn knows. Their time together in New Orleans. Obviously, Dan Campbell was there as well. So they know more about him and what they would possibly be getting. And it's I got to imagine he's not only thinking about the here and now, which is most important, but if it is a player like Trey Hendrickson, or if it is Trey Hendrickson, knowing that you have him for another year, can you imagine the excitement of, now I know what I'm going to have when Aiden is back? Both of those guys on the edge?
It's a move that helps you win a Super Bowl this year.
That would be badass.
And next year, which is why I think you're in the point now. This team's playing well enough. You can justify giving up some, not all, of those draft picks.
I'm curious to our listeners. Who is it outside of Crosby and Garrett that would make you jump up and down in the morning?
248-539-9797. We're bracing for it. Could be today, based on the body language of Dan Campbell.
Brace yourself.
Could be today. Dan Campbell will join us at 8:02. It's 97.1.
Hey, there's a great place to watch all the wonderful sporting events that we have going on. And it was the solstice, the sports solstice yesterday. All four major sports in action. So why not celebrate the sports solstice at a viewing experience built for sports fans, where you could jump into one of the six pools on three different levels? That's Stadium Swim. and you got a great view of the massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. It's at Circa Resort and Casino. It's America's favorite place to watch all these great moments. Swim up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Dan Campbell jumping up and down like a kid on Christmas Eve at the podium yesterday when asked, is anything imminent? No, seriously. Are you guys going to make a trade soon? Could be. Could be, with a sheepish grin, and he's jumping up and down, and it's got us speculating, maybe falling into this a little bit. But Dan didn't have to do it. He's been pretty honest about it. Could a trade be happening today? And could it be a Trey Hendrickson? Could it be somebody else? John, you asked our audience which
maybe,
name.
Maybe he'll announce it at 8:02.
Maybe. Hey, thanks for asking, guys. Yeah, actually, we're trading for blah, 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 blah today.
Yeah.
Here's the compensation. Should be coming down in a couple hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 10:05.
Right, exactly. Ticket texters, which names would get you jumping up and down like that? This one says, I think we're getting Dexter Lawrence from the Giants. Marcus in East Point. I doubt it.
I don't think so, but I'd be all right with it.
I would too, although that's more of an interior player, but he's one of the best interior players in football. Trayvon Walker would have me jumping up and down. Jags are going nowhere.
Interesting. That would be very interesting because obviously he was taken number one, Aiden Hutchinson.
What better
two.
Way to replace
but
I think Aiden he's than got, a guy who was allegedly better than him?
Right. Well, he's got, I think, 6.5 sacks
on
the year, and which is his best production to this point in a season.
How about this name, Granderson from the Saints or Arden Key from the Titans? Names you guys haven't talked about, but do play the edge spot.
Yeah, and we did talk about Key. I mean, maybe it'll be a nice one-on-one battle at practice between him and Taylor Decker. Hey. Sorry, Taylor.
Goes, you guys fell for the Dan Campbell trap. He was trolling the media. He already said they aren't in a panic or a rush to get someone in the question prior. He was saying, okay, I'll give you the response you want to hear. It meant nothing.
Okay. We're not in a panic, but there is a bit of a rush. In 1 week from today, it's going down. That's the trade deadline. And I want to make sure that they all have time to vote on Tuesday, so they better get the trade done now.
You got election day, you got trade deadline day, you got college football playoff ranking debut day.
Ooh, big day.
Make the deal today and just be done with it.
Yeah.
This one says, Uche got traded to the Chiefs the week after they traded for Hopkins. They're trying to win 3 Super Bowls in a row. Are we making any moves? Says the difference between Super Bowl winning teams and the Lions who hope to get there.
Okay, so my reaction when it happened was not necessarily that we lost out on Uche, but then I heard that he went to the Chiefs, and I thought, of course. A defense that's already good, and they went out and got D-Hop last week, so now it made their offense a little bit better. And it didn't necessarily show last week, but I didn't expect it to be an instant, change. It'll get better as they work together more. But then all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, they strengthened their offense, and now they go and strengthen a defense that's already good. And that's the team that I think we all believe the Lions will play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. The trade was, what, a 6th-round pick? Texter says 7th. I thought I saw 6th. Says, either way, maybe the defensive end market is going to be cheaper this year. Is that a good sign? I think it's completely dependent on the player.
It is. I mean, if...
And the team.
And it's also... That was interesting because it was AFC to AFC. I thought that might be a little bit more costly, although New England's irrelevant. Going from... If there was an NFC team that you were trying to hit up for a trade... as a trade partner, I would think that the trade, compensation would be a little bit higher. Going across conferences, maybe not quite as much because you don't have to necessarily worry about playing that other team unless you make it to the Super Bowl. And I don't think, Baltimore's not selling, and Kansas City certainly isn't selling.
Ticket texter says Dan Campbell had that sheepish grin because they're setting up a press conference in Ypsilanti this afternoon to announce the trade.
Oh, like what you did there.
Texter says, there's nobody I'm jumping up and down for who's not Miles Garrett or Max Crosby. Nobody else would get a head coach that excited.
I disagree. I think Trey Hendrickson would be on that level.
I'd love to get Khalil Mack, Elijah on a sell. Khalil Mack getting a couple votes early on the ticket text. Kayvon Thibodeau would send us all the way. And, John, maybe it's Aaron Donald coming out of retirement. Chris in Livonia.
That's not possible. It's possible. I don't think that's going to happen. But interesting that two guys that were taken in the same draft as Aiden Hutchinson would be rumored to be on the trade block.
We'll keep an eye on it. I doubt it's going to break in the 6 a.m. hour, but we've got Dan Campbell at 8:02 to get any insight into what was going on there at the podium. What's going on behind the scenes with the Lions. We've got two Grand Slam coming up in an hour, your chance to win $2,000. We've got Greg Palm, the college football playoff rankings. But first, Heather with the news.
Well, Gisele Bündchen just dropped a bombshell pregnancy announcement. Yes, she did. She's expecting her third child, but first with her boyfriend, Joaquin Valenti. So yes. Congrats to her. They've never actually confirmed their relationship. Like, you kind of knew that they were in a relationship, but they've never actually said, yes, we are officially dating. But sources say they have been together since June of 2023.
Oh, so now they've got to announce that they're together.
What tipped people off?
Yeah. She's apparently at least halfway through her pregnancy already. And she did, according to these sources, fill in Tom and her other children that she was pregnant before they heard it from the media, which you would imagine.
Yeah,
that for sure happened. Yeah. But now people are, you know, trying to figure out how Tom is feeling because he kind of posted this cryptic post following the announcement. Did you see it?
No.
On his social media. So he posted a photo. It's of the sunset and it's accompanied by the song Landslide. And the caption features the lyrics, "Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love?" And then you hear the lyrics as well. People are thinking that maybe it's his first reaction, his initial feelings to finding out that she is having a baby with another man. I mean, obviously, they're divorced. It is what it is, but it's still.
I'm sure it's a little bit weird for him.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Yeah. But, I mean, hey, you know what? Congratulations to her.
Yeah.
Especially at 44. Yes. I think it's amazing.
Yes. It's a geriatric pregnancy.
Boy, that humbles you quick.
You guys,
right?
I heard that
Lisa did as well.
I was old. I was like, don't you dare say those words. Geriatric pregnancies. Both of mine were. Yeah. So good for her. He's 37. So he's a young man.
Oh, he's, yeah. He's. Nah. Never mind.
Yes. Anyway, other news, local news. More than four dozen fans were kicked out of the Big House during the Michigan-Michigan State game. According to University of Michigan Public Safety, a total of 55 people were ejected from the game, 34 of them for disorderly conduct. Other fans were removed for assault, intoxication, fighting, breaking stadium rules regarding alcohol, and one person was removed regarding a ticket.
They got some college kids that snuck alcohol into the stadium. First time that's ever happened.
Think about how many other kids got the alcohol in and weren't caught, right?
I don't know. If there's 10,000 students, probably 9,000 of them.
Yes, a lot of them did. In other game data, 42 people were sent to the medical station there at the game, including 20 for alcohol-related issues. Those were probably some of the other kids that got their alcohol in that weren't caught. A total of 10 people had to be transported to hospitals.
Yeah.
Some of them were for alcohol reasons, others reasons.
Well, let me see. Which ID am I supposed to give you?
Oh, my gosh. This is pretty cool. A guy in North Carolina found $20 on the ground, turned that into $1 million. This guy's lucky day got even luckier. So he found $20 on the ground at a gas station. He was at a Speedway gas station. Used that money inside to buy a lottery ticket. He wanted a specific ticket. They didn't have it there, so he bought a different one. Won $1 million on a scratch-off lottery ticket. So he was asked by the media, like, what he plans to do. And he says, we're going to head straight to Golden Corral and eat everything they've got.
That's amazing.
But he does, in all seriousness.
Fill up that ice cream bowl.
He is going to use the money to help him retire. He's 56 years old. He's been working in carpentry for 56 years. Wow. So he is ready to retire. And this is going to help him. So
good
pretty
for him.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Over the weekend, American Airlines landed its longest nonstop flight And apparently this was a very, very big deal. So it took off from Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport on Saturday, and the flight traveled 8,300 miles, landed nearly 16 hours later in Brisbane, at the airport there in Australia.
Yeah.
And it was all like live streamed on the airport's YouTube channel.
I bet that
channel.
Was exciting.
And, right. Like, apparently 12,000 people were watching this video.
Really?
Why? I'm telling you.
Hoping to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning is what they were doing.
A big deal. Like, people got little goodie bags when they entered the flight. They got like a koala stuffed animal. They got a postcard, and then they got like this, you can go, there's a koala sanctuary there. So they got like a gift card that they could go and, I don't know.
How about something to eat for that long flight?
Well, I'm sure they got that. Yeah. But that was like, welcome aboard. Here's your gift bag. And then they planted flag. Like, it was like a big, big deal. Wow.
What's the longest flight you've taken? This is 16
hours.
To
Germany. It was only like 8 hours or something, I think.
And how did you feel by the end of it? You wanted to be off the plane, right?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't imagine 16 hours.
I mean, but that's pretty typical to travel to Australia. Yeah. You're going to be on a flight that long anyway. No, it's not for me, but I would, I mean, I want to go to Australia one day, so I will have to do it, but I would have to drug myself.
Yeah, you sleep most of it.
And drink wine. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, combine
the two.
Great combo.
wake up feeling glorious.
Sure. That is Heather with the news. All right. Greg, are you finally going to show some love to this undefeated Big Ten team? We'll find out next. It's 97.1. One week before some fancy committee does this. We've been doing it all year. And Greg, floor is yours.
Well, first off, one note on parity. We hear a lot about the parity in college football. And while that might be true from a standpoint of a team that has struggled to get going as a program can turn it around quickly and be successful the next year, sure, that fall, spring's eternal sort of thing, a new season, they can. However, in terms of teams are just going to kind of beat up on one another and it's going to create a lot of chaos, we haven't seen that because there are plenty of 0-1 loss teams, not only ranked in Greg Pomm, but ranked outside of Greg Pomm that I would love to rank at least at some point in the season.
Okay.
But we'll go to number 12 here. That is Clemson. The Tigers are coming off a bye. They are 3 conference wins away from an ACC title game appearance, and with that becomes a chance at a first-round playoff bye. And don't look now. Cade Klubnik has the 5th best Heisman Trophy odds at plus 2,000.
What a recovery after being blown out in week 1 by Georgia.
And they are down a spot, meaning somebody cut in line.
Ooh.
That number 11 is a brave new world. The 8-0 Indiana Hoosiers.
Let's go.
Look, the resume may only be gradually improving. They did blow out Nebraska. They did beat Washington at home. But the on-field product is there. They have a consistent offense. They have scored in 31 of the 32 quarters they have played this season. They won with a backup quarterback against Washington, but their starting quarterback, Curtis Rourke, currently leads the nation in passer rating.
I still need to see. I get why they're, and they belong there. I still need to see more from Indiana in terms of the opponents that they're playing. And honestly, until they play Ohio State, there's not really a true test.
They go to East Lansing this week. Yeah, Brass Platoon, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they host nice Michigan. But again, until they play Ohio State, I don't know that there's a real threat.
Number 10 is Texas A&M staying put here. A gutsy win from down 10 to a 15-point win at home against LSU. They got a tricky road game coming up there at South Carolina, but their season may come down to Texas to end the year. They are hosting the Longhorns. They lead the SEC right now. There is a path for the Aggies to crash the party in Atlanta.
Another team that lost in week 1
that
is clawing their way back.
Number 9, Tennessee. Bye week comes at a good time for them. I believe that's after an intense rivalry game. They don't get the letdown the next week. They have the bye week to kind of have that layoff, so to speak. They've got Kentucky at home this week. They've got 3 easy home games to close out their season. They have 2 challenging road games at Georgia and at Vandy to close the season. Let's go to the middle eight. Staying put here is Notre Dame. Convincing win against Navy. Look, their schedule, before the season started, we would look in November and say, well, they still have FSU and USC remaining. But who would have thought their most challenging game would be Army, the second to last game of the season? Notre Dame is on a bye coming up this week after that win against the Midshipmen.
Fun fact, Notre Dame scored more touchdowns in MetLife Stadium than the Jets and the Giants combined up until this weekend in MetLife.
Oh, wow.
Ouch. And Notre Dame, think about this, lost to NIU. Some people thought it's disqualifying. That Texas A&M win, a big deal for them.
Yeah.
401k, just bank it and watch it get better, and A&M will push you up the rankings. Number seven, the Texas Longhorns. Getting a win at pesky Vanderbilt is an accomplishment, no matter how you get it, following high-intensity games against OU, rivalry game, and then Georgia, playoff atmosphere, intense, high-level competition, and a hard-hitting game. It's a good bye week for them to finally recover from that tough stretch of games for the Longhorns.
I mean, that Vandy game was a top 25 matchup.
Yep.
Number six, Miami. Taking care of business against FSU, nothing more to say about that. They're playing a 6-2 Duke team. This is a failed two-point conversion in overtime away from being Greg Palm Game of the Week consideration. Ooh. But that disqualifies Duke. Miami's still looking good here at number six. Number five, the BYU Cougars staying put here. Those are my boys. A decisive road victory as a WTF underdog, featuring a crazy fake field goal attempt in a drive that eventually ended in a made field goal. Clear sailing to them, to Arlington for the Big 12 title game. And I think, looking at the future for BYU, I think they have found a cultural home in the Big 12. It fits them geographically, and it's a conference which they can have success in the near future.
Yeah, I think three teams, Colorado, Utah, BYU. Good fit in the Big 12.
All right, let's go to the top four. Number four from the Big Ten, the Ohio State University. Tougher than expected win against Nebraska. They are at Penn State this week. And I did swap them with the Nittany Lions, who are the number three team.
Wow.
So why do I do that? So Penn State pulled away at Wisconsin, ended up winning by two touchdowns on Saturday night. The idea of swapping them with Ohio State, look, they're going to play this weekend and they'll settle down on the field. But for now, why I did that is predictive. I've got this strange feeling that Penn State has had this 30 to 40% chance of beating Ohio State wherever the game is played, and they've always found a way to fall short. I think that 35%, let's say, lines up for them this year. I have a feeling this just feels like a game that Penn State is going to find a way to win.
Wow.
And so that's why I have them at number three. Now, look.
No concern about James Franklin coaching in this game.
Oh.
Or bigger concerns about Ryan Day coaching in this game.
Also true.
There's concern.
Yep.
And so that's why I'm not, like, blasting this and saying this is going to happen. It's just a feeling. And look, I may look silly come Saturday at 2 o'clock.
We all do.
And Ohio State may run away with this, and they find their way to win against Penn State.
I think it would be very entertaining for Ryan Day to lose to James Franklin.
And look, they're going to play this game on the field. It's a chance for Penn State to eliminate Ohio State from the Big Ten title race and a chance to give them clear sailing to Indianapolis. And that's why it's the Greg Palm Game of the Week.
Right.
I also think, looking not too far ahead, the Big Ten is in a great position to get the 5 seed in the official playoff finale, which would be the number one non-conference champion.
Yeah.
It could be the winner of this game.
And think about what that is, too. It's going to be an 11-1 team that doesn't have to play that Big Ten title game.
Yep.
And just kind of sneaks in there at number 5. And the SEC does have some high-level games left where someone's going to get knocked off or they're going to play in Atlanta.
Yeah.
All right, number two, Georgia. Nothing new from them. They had a bye week last week. Neutral site game against Florida. Number one, the Oregon Ducks. cruise to a home win against Illinois. They are 8-0. Updating the stat of Big Ten teams traveling 2+ time zones. The home team is now 14-5. Oregon plays at Michigan this week.
Okay.
I'm looking at you. Any chance?
Did you see the uniforms that they're wearing? The warp speed? Yeah.
They have so many of them. I'd have to pull them up. Describe them.
Obviously, they're going to wear something new. It's a warp speed. They're white on white, and I think they are silver or chrome helmets.
Oh, these are
They look
nice.
Pretty badass.
I like these.
Why'd they go from the lemon lime? The lemon lime is their best uniform combo.
It looks like puke.
They've got a million of those jerseys. As I look at Greg Palm, couple things. We can start slotting what the actual playoff would look like. BYU would be the 3 seed. Miami would be the 4 seed. Notre Dame would host a playoff game. Texas would host a playoff game. And then who knows on that final spot could be the loser of Ohio State, Penn State, or Tennessee right now that would be that final team to host the opening round of the college football playoff. Still a lot
Mid-December
to sort out.
Mid-December in the Midwest.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's Bring see on how the that goes. Snow, baby. Playoff games with snow flurries. Bring it.
Snow flurries could be snow showers.
Bring it. I'd love to see a team from the SEC.
Yep. Go in teens weather.
They're in South Bend. They're in Happy Valley. They may be in Columbus.
A little windy.
Bloomington, aim high. Come on.
Bloomington, who finally makes an appearance. About damn time. Cignetti and company. It's Greg Palm. It's the college football rankings. It's 97.1.
Hey, the NBA is back. The season is up and running, and FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving all users 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off or buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA. So whether you want to watch LeBron and Bronny, I don't know why, or maybe it's Wembanyama in San Antonio, or maybe it's the Celtics, if they're going to try and repeat. There's a lot to watch in the NBA. If you're new to FanDuel, all you got to do is visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. That's FanDuel.com/Jansen, and make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
A very excitable Dan Campbell at the podium yesterday. He'll join us today at 8:02. Could be adding someone. As he jumps up and down with the biggest grin I've ever seen on his face.
You know, that's the first question I'm going to ask him. I'll let you know right now, and I'm sure he's not listening, but maybe Eamon is. Are you really that excited, or are you just trolling the rest of us?
Well, ticket texters have accused us of falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. So
I'm going to ask him. Yeah. I mean, why not? You know, and he can answer it however he wants.
Of course.
He's got a good sense of humor, and maybe that was him using his sense of humor.
Dan, are you pulling our leg? We'll follow up. We'll have some fun with Dan. We always do.
I think the key here is John asks that.
I'll ask him.
Dan, were you being reckless with your mannerisms?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Was your body language reckless yesterday?
How would you phrase it versus how I phrase it?
That's almost a fun game anytime we get these guys on. I'll let you go ahead and pry and see what we can get out of Dan.
Yeah, why not? Let's see what happens.
We got 2 Grand Slam coming up at 7:25, a chance to win $2,000. Going to be one of these days, and we keep saying, we're waiting for someone.
I would love to give away 2 grand. It would be so cool.
I think we've only done it once since I joined the show. Yeah.
It feels like a lifetime ago. I'm ready to give away money. Doesn't it feel like forever? Like, I can't
it does,
even remember.
Yeah. I mean, every day working with him feels like it's been a long time.
That's not what she was asking.
You know what? It's really true. It feels like a lifetime.
It does. It feels like a lifetime.
It just goes on and on and on.
And on and on and on. Before we get to the 2 Grand Slam, the fallout of the rivalry game, we have 2 different questions. One involving Jonathan Smith and Michigan State. The other involving Sharon Moore. And John, I don't know if you want to flip a coin, but I'm cool with starting either way. We could start with the victors, or we could start picking up the pieces in East Lansing.
Oh, let's pick up some pieces.
All right, John.
Because I disagree with the narrative that's out there.
I've seen this narrative. I think you and I are on the same page here. Jonathan Smith is getting called out for not truly understanding the rivalry. People are saying part of the reason Michigan State lost is because he didn't understand what he was getting into. Now, he spoke about it yesterday. His appreciation for the rivalry has only grown after coaching in it. What do you think?
I mean, until you experience any rivalry, they all have their intricacies. He obviously was a part of one when he was at Oregon State as a player and as a coach between Oregon and Oregon State. And while they're different, there's a lot of commonality. And I don't for one second buy into he wasn't ready or didn't understand this. Every time you play in the game, you learn a little bit more about the rivalry. And that's understandable. But for fans to accuse him of not being ready or not understanding how important that game is, I'm calling BS on that. I think he knew exactly what he was getting into. And, you know, if Aiden Childs doesn't turn the ball over at the end of the first half, does that game end a different way? If Noah Kim doesn't miss a field goal at the start of the game, he's not out there kicking. He's not out there carrying the ball. It's to say that he didn't understand the rivalry, I think is way off.
Yeah, I mean, they came out and ran it down Michigan's throat. 93 rushing yards to one rushing yard at the end of the first quarter. They marched up and down the field, setting the tone, coming out with a fire, a passion, and a physicality. That, to me, speaks to someone who had his team ready for a rivalry. Don't mistake that for saying the game was well coached by Jonathan Smith. I do think his team sold out too harshly against the run. I don't think they had enough max protect deep shots down the field to try to challenge Michigan secondary. But John, that's not the same. If you're out coached, it doesn't mean you didn't get the rivalry. I know people want to paint him as, oh, he's not a Midwesterner, therefore he can't understand. I think his appreciation will only grow as he participates.
Sure, as everybody does.
Right, but I don't agree with the narrative that Jonathan Smith didn't understand the rivalry and that's why they lost. And I think this is dangerous. I didn't hear the entire show yesterday, but I did see a clip online. Mike and Rico were pushing that. I disagree with it. I'm with you, John. I feel like they lost the game because of their errors in execution. They did not make the plays they needed to make, but I don't think it's because their coach didn't have them ready to play. They, if anything, they came out perfectly suited for this rivalry. They just didn't finish.
Opening drive went 14 plays, 68 yards, and covered just over 8 minutes.
And it's like mostly runs, like 10, 11, 12 runs.
They were ready to go. And then missed a field goal. So they get the ball back, and they go 9 plays, 62 yards, just over 5 minutes. They were dominating time of possession. They were shortening the game. They weren't giving Michigan's offense is not a quick strike offense. They were not giving it a chance to be on the field. And when Michigan did have a chance to be on the field, they went 3 and out, gaining 1 single yard. They went 4 plays on the next possession, and the first play was a completion to Colston Loveland. After that, it was a 3 and out for, I think it was about 4 yards. And the third possession, 6 plays, 20 yards. So Michigan State came out ready for that game.
Agree.
They didn't capitalize on the field goal. And it was the turnover. And it was only one turnover. Both teams did a nice job of protecting the ball. And I don't know what Aiden Childs was thinking, because as soon as you line up and you know that Josiah Stewart is on your left, when you get pushed out of the pocket, you got to believe he's chasing you. You get pushed out for a reason. But again, that's not Jonathan Smith playing quarterback.
No.
That is his guy, but the players have to go out there and execute. And then when you think about the only other disagreement I have is, yeah, they were loading up to stop the run, and Michigan's offensive line was not coming off the ball.
Sure.
With good pad level, hat placement, any sort of technique. So they were doubting the run. The only question I had was, when Alex Orji was in, they had a lighter box.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think TJ was making the point. I don't know if it was on air or off air when we had him here yesterday. He said, why are there two high safeties late in the game with Orji at quarterback? You got to be crashing downhill. See, that's the time where you should be all out.
Yeah.
Where they got burned early in the game is Colston Loveland was unguarded on play action, and Donovan Edwards threw his touchdown because the defense was overcommitted. You would think the one time you should have been overcommitted would have been with the final possession of the game, an obvious run, and Alex Orji in the game. I'm not telling you Jonathan Smith coached a masterpiece. I think there were coaching mistakes in that game from him, but I think to attribute that to the fact that he grew up in a different part of the country and can't possibly fathom the rivalry, I do think he had his guys ready for this rivalry game. I think that's an unfair narrative that he wasn't ready for this rivalry.
I agree. I mean, anytime you're a part of, and again, there's going to be differences in every rivalry, but there's always intensity. And I think they were ready for the intensity of that rivalry.
Ticket Texter says, John, he didn't understand how big or important the game was. His players who've never played here, he's got 60 new players. He was too conservative most of the game. He was not ready for how deep this rivalry is. See, this is a thing that people believe. We're not making this up.
I disagree. I just don't see how that's even possible. This is a guy that played the game. He played in a rivalry between Oregon and Oregon State. Then he coached in that same rivalry. You can't tell me that he doesn't understand what a game, even albeit a different state, different part of the country, between Michigan and Michigan State. I understand that there's some violence. There's some hatred involved, but there is in every rivalry. That's why they're called rivalries.
Ticket Texter says, whoa, Mike and Rico never said it was the reason they lost. They said it was part of it. They said MSU made mistakes, and that's what lost the game. That's what they talked about yesterday. And I said, hey, I only saw a clip, but I heard them talking about how Smith wasn't ready for the rivalry. And it's not just them. I've got buddies, state alums that texted me, messaged me. I'm getting quotes sent to me from Jonathan Smith going, see. And I'm going, see what? See what? He was honest about it. Of course, after being in the game, you learn more. But I don't think it's fair to say that they lost the game in any part because he didn't understand the rivalry.
No, he had his team ready.
Yeah.
They just didn't execute.
And I still, John, view him as a good hire for Michigan State. And I can't wait to see what they do building on this season. I think there's a chance for them still to make a bowl game, albeit a lot slimmer. Yeah. They're going to have to upset somebody. They're going to have to, they got Purdue, but probably have to beat Rutgers for them in the final game of the season to get to a bowl. But then you can build on it with Childs. You can build on it with Marsh.
Yeah.
And they've got a couple offensive linemen. That's an area that programs don't develop overnight. They get the game at their place next year, and I guarantee you they will play a better football game.
And the I talked about the defense playing against Alex Orji, but offensively, I think the only flaw in the game plan was that they didn't throw the ball enough. They have three talented receivers. Aiden Childs is a good passing quarterback.
Yeah,
they didn't challenge Michigan's secondary more.
I would have liked to see them kind of go down swinging a little more with him too, right? Because then you say, hey, if you lose on the road, it's a teenage quarterback in a rivalry game and we trust him and he makes a mistake. It's like they didn't want him to make the mistake. They weren't confident they could pass set. They weren't confident that he could throw it down the field without turning the ball over. I would have liked to see a little more trust in Aiden Childs.
Yeah, but as soon as you don't see number two on the field, you start chucking it deep.
But yeah, no Will Johnson. That's another great point. So again, this is not to say Jonathan Smith had his finest hour. Far from it. I think we're going a little far with didn't get the rivalry. The Michigan side of things, Sherrone Moore, his football team picked up a much-needed win this season. How much faith does it restore? How much work still needs to be done? What do you need to see from the Wolverines? We'll get to that next. It's 97.1.